Today's shiur is Masechet Bava Basra, Daf Chaf Hey. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Chaf Hey Yom Aleph at the top of the Amid. Teaches us the Mishnah Mechikin as Nevelis Vasakforis. One has to distance the Nevelis dead animals Vasakforis and cemetery Vasaburski, a place where they tan the leather, which also gives off a very foul odor, minair. All of these have to be distanced from the city. Chamishimam. They have to be distanced from the city. So the Rashi explains the reason that the Beis HaKfaris has to be distanced from the city 50 amis. So Rashi explains because unfortunately they give off a bad odor, and since they give off a bad odor, we have to distance. The many Achronim find Rashi's Pshat somewhat difficult. We know that the way Niftarim are buried, Bezman Hazeh, that the reality is that there is no bad odor emanating from a cemetery. And if that's the case, why is the halacha that we have to distance from a cemetery 50 amos? So the Taz says, a very interesting pshat, that the Taz says the issue is the situation where if every time I walk by, I see a cemetery, so of course it's going to be very depressing. And part of what we're obligated to do, suggests the Gemara, is that we have to be concerned about people's mental state. How will they react to the cemetery being built right next to where they live and have this type of a reaction when they see it? The Beis Yosef, learning this Mishnah, makes a very important comment. He says that the discussion here is Meneir. There's much more of a concern when we speak in our Mishnayis, we're speaking about distancing, so he considers that there's much more of an issue when it's a hezek of the ear, of a city versus the hezek of a yachid. That's the Beis Yosef's opinion. The Ramban disagrees, and the Ramban says that although the Mishnah speaks about machikim and a ear, it doesn't necessarily be only machikim and a ear. It also could be from the yachid. The Chazon Ish asks another question. He says in the Mishnayos that we learned that we're going to learn, the Mishnayos often discuss a nafkamina and halacha, what was there first. Our Mishnah doesn't seem to delve into that situation. And therefore the Chazon Ish wants to know what's going to be the halacha in our Mishnah. These distinctions that we've been learning in our Mishnayis that distinguish between when it was there, what was there first, what will be the halacha in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah also said that one of the things that we separate distance from the city is the Nevelis. The Pasuk regarding the Nevelis says, L'kelef tashlichun oisad. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky in his Sefer Tamid HaKra says, yes, the dogs were rewarded because L'kovnei Yisrael L'yechatz kelef as L'shanai. The dogs did not bark as Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, so they rewarded that the Nevelis are given to them. But the Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zitzal tries to understand, why does the pasuk use the word tashlichun rather than the word tashlichu? So he says, because the pasuk is trying to teach us the halacha that we just learned in our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah said that we have to distance a 50 amis from the Nevelis. That's why the pasuk says, we're going to throw the Nevelis to the dogs. But we have to be careful with that nun, with that extra 50, that nun, which is 50, that we're throwing them to the dogs. We have to be careful to make sure that they're kept away with a distance of 50 amos. This issue of making something that has a foul smell being a concern, so the Chishuki Chemed has a discussion where somebody lives across the street from a shul. And what happened is that the shul needed to build bathrooms, there was the people that are constantly coming to the shul. And since there is people that are constantly coming to the shul, they need to have facilities. And the bathrooms are being built, they're building a room, a place for the bathroom, right next to somebody else's apartment. And this person is saying that by building these bathrooms, what you're doing is you're devaluing my bathroom, my home, and also the bad smell. So the Shulchan Aruch in Schosh Mishpat, Simen Kuf Nun Hei Sif Lamed Ches, when it discusses the halachas that we're discussing in our shir, says that a number of points, that the bathrooms that we've been discussing in our shiurim is only bathrooms that weren't modern sewage and modern plumbing, that the waste, of course, is immediately removed. The halacha is that that's not the bathroom. So to read the words of Shulchan Aruch, basic kisish amru, dafka ke'en bati kisoy shalhem, only bathrooms that were similar to their bathrooms, shahayu agabe karka, they were above ground, a megulim, and everybody could see them and smell them. Avalanu, shem chusim b'chafiris, our bathrooms that have modern plumbing, imroy v'shasik, if the person saw it and was quite machal, v'shuv eina yochal limchas. Aval chatchila, matzim akif. So we see that the Shulchan Aruch is saying that yes, you can't make them dismantle the bathroom, but if from when they're building such a bathroom, you protest, it seems that that would be accepted. But the Masham, in the Shas Chuvus Masham, Chelk Alef Simen Kuf Ayin Ches, says that the Shulchan Aruch is only referring to a situation where there's giving off a bad odor. If there's no bad odor, even though, of course, nobody wants to live next to a bathroom, but that doesn't mean that the neighbor could stop us from building the bathroom. And in fact, the Pesukim say that the shul that needs to have facilities, that people who daven the shul should have a place to go if they need to use the facilities, is certainly something that the shul needs. And therefore, we cannot demand, the neighbor cannot demand that it not be built. Says the Mishnah, the Tana Kama's opinion is, Ein Oiskin Burski, this tannery which gives off the bad odor, should not be made Ela L'Mizrachir, because as we're going to learn it extensively in the Gemara, that is the weakest wind, and since that's the weakest wind, that's going to prevent that smell from entering the city. Kivai Melchol Ruach Oisam, you can make it in any direction, in any side of the city, chutz mimarova, except from the west side of the city. Umachik chamishim am, and the Gemara is going to analyze what this line means. Umachik is a mishra. We've discussed previously in our shiurim that they used to have a pool where they used to soak the flax, and it gives off a bad odor. Minayerek, it should be distanced from a vegetable plath, from a place where vegetables grow. As hakreshim mina betzolim, we could distance the kreshim vegetable leek from onions. Again, the leek damaged the onions. As achad mina dvarim, we spoke about this halacha, we distance the mustard from the bees. Rav Yossi mata, Rav Chardel, and as we also learned, Rav Yossi doesn't agree by the Chardel. But the Rishonim point out that as we've been learning the opinion of Rav Yossi in our shiurim, what has become very clear in learning the opinion of Rav Yossi in our shiurim is Rav Yossi's opinion is al nizik l'hachikas atzmai. The primary responsibility lays with the nizik to distance himself, not with the mazik. Having said that, we've also learned in our shiurim that in a case where it's giri delay, where the damage that's done is much more attributable to the mazik, there Rabbi Yossi agrees. And that's why in this case, as we explained, and we'll discuss it again in Mitzvah Shem, that's why it's not giri delay. But in a case where it would be giri delay, Rabbi Yossi would agree. And that's why the Rif suggests in the name of Rav Shri Ragon, that even though we have in our Mishnah Rabbi Yossi disagreeing by the mustard and the bees, he will agree by the flax water, which is he considers gira delay, and he says that Rabbi Yossi would agree you have to distance. The Rosh and Tor disagree with the Rav, and they say that all that you need to do is this distance. You just have to distance by three tefachim, which in general is a question. Usually, as we even had in our Mishnah, and throughout the Mishnahs that we've been learning, there's always the Mishnah always gives us an amount, a distance, how much it has to be distant. Here, we don't find that the Mishnah gives us a distance. So the Ramban suggests that every situation has to be evaluated independently. And we have to see how much damage it's causing. And the Mishnah doesn't have a firm number. That's why in every situation, that's why the Mishnah left it open, that we have to evaluate every situation. There's some Rishonim that say that the shear may be as little as Gimel Tefachim. Ibailhu. So now the Gemara wants to evaluate, analyze, how do we understand the opinion of Rabbi Kiva? Rabbi Kiva Hechikomer, how do we understand the opinion of Rabbi Kiva? Kol Ruach Ho'ois V'Samech, is Rabbi Kiva's opinion that you can make in any direction the burski chutz mimarava, and there's no need for semech, and there's no need for distancing chutz mimarava, except for the west side, the marcha chamisha amavaisa, you have to distance 50 amis. Idilma, or maybe the way to understand Rabbi Kiva's opinion is lekuach lekal roch aisa, you can make it in every direct in every direction, but in every direction or marchik Chamish Mam, you're going to have to distance 50 Amma. Chutz Mimarava, except if you make it on the west side, Ein is a klal, there is no room for the discussion. You can't make it on that side at all. Toshma. So Bryce explains Rabbi Kiva's opinion. The Tanya Rabbi Kiva, Oymel Chol Ruach, Oysa, Omachik, Chamish Mamma. Here the opinion of Rabbi Kiva is very clearly stated that on every side of the city you can make it with a distance of 50 amma. Chutz Mimarava, except for the west side, then Isakalikar, you may not make it at all. Neshitadira, that wind, as we're going to learn, is constant and will therefore bring that bad odor into the city. Amalar of Nachman, Rabalar of Nachman. So ask the Gemara, what exactly is the definition of Tadira? My Tadira, what is meant that it's tadira. Ilam tadira beruchas, that means that it always comes on a steady basis. V'amrav nachbar abba amrav, ava ruchas menashos b'chol yoyim, there are four winds from the four directions that blow every day. Ruach tzfainasim kulam, in the north wind, blows along with everyone. Shemali kain, if not for the fact that the north wind accompanies every other wind, the world cannot survive because the other winds would do incredible damage. The southerly wind, Kashm Kulan, is the most difficult. The Mali Benetz. So most Rishonim explain there's a malach that looks like an eagle. Some say it's the eagle itself, Shemamida, that holds back that wind. The entire world would be destroyed. The malach that looks like an eagle spreads its wings on the southern side. Taman is the southern side, to prevent the wind from coming from that side and being able to do terrible damage. Ella. What does it mean, my tadira? So we see that the wind is coming on a constant basis. So what, says the Gemara, is the definition of tadira? Tadira b'shchina. The shchina is more on the west side, and therefore it's inappropriate to make the burski on the side that you have the shchina. And of course the Ben Yoyada points out, we know the Pasuk says, we say the Pasuk all the time, Malay Chal Arz Kavoidai. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. But he explains that the Gilui Shechina, seeing is the the Shechina is more visible on that side. And he brings a proof from every one of us. The Ruach Chaim, what keeps us living, the Neshama, permeates our entire body. But of course, it's much more noticeable in our heart, in our nose. The Tveres Yisrael also points out that even though the Shechina is everywhere, but we know that the Shechina stays away from a place of Tumah, and that's why the west side is designated as the place that the Shechina finds it most comfortable to be. Just like we find, he says, that the Shechina rests with Tzaddikim and not with Rishoyim. They were everybody, but it means that the Shechina is more evident and more permanent over there. Darim Rav Shur ben Levi. Let's give credit to the Anshe Knesset Gdila. They taught us Makom Tefila. What is the proper place to daven? So the way to understand this Gemara is that the sun, we know goes up on the east side and starts going towards the west side. So as it's bowing down, as it's approaching the west side, it's bowing down. So that's how we see that the Shechina is on the west side from the way the sun goes. Of course, the question that the Rishonim ask is, yes, the sun in the morning as it comes up goes towards the west side. But in the evening as it goes down, it's going towards the east side. So why don't we go with the way it looks at night rather than the morning? And the answer the Rishonim give is because in the morning we see how the sun is going to the west side. But in the evening, we don't see it. Yad Ramah explains, now we could understand the machlokes in the Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva, the Tanakhama says that the side that we should make the Burski is only on the east side, because the east side is the side which is most distant from the west side. The north and the south border the west. The east is most distant, and that's why he holds only make the Burski on the east side. Rabbi Kiva says we don't have to be so machmer. So yes, we don't want to make it, as the Gemara just explained, on the west side, but it's not necessary to make it only on the east side. The Iyun Yaakov explains that what does the Gemara mean by saying Nachsik Toivel Avaseinu? The Gemara Masech the Brachos, he says in Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, Mishen Yideil Eizet Tzad Olav L'Spalo. Somebody doesn't know in what direction to daven. He should just think that I should have kavanah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So explains the Yad Ramah. As we know, the Rishonim and the Achronim say this in more than one place, that nowadays people don't have the ability to concentrate properly when they daven. So since they don't have that ability, so to rely that I don't know in which direction to daven, so daven to any direction, just have kavana, how could we be confident and rely on our kavana? But now that we know that it should be on the west side, that's why by making it on the west side, then we know that at least that much we can do. The Ben Ish Chai also explains this Gemara, that why is the Gemara being so focused on davening towards the west side? Because he says in those days, people would daven to the east side because many worshipped the sun. So to show that we're not worshipping the sun, we specifically daven to the other direction. Maskel of Rachab Yaakov, how can we suggest, ask the Gemara, that we should daven to the west side because we're saying that's where the Shechin is? The Dilma, maybe the way to daven is the way we should look at the sun is Ke'ev Chenaitel Prasmi Rabbi, as somebody who took something as a gift from his owner or his master. So the sun, as it's leaving the east side, is because the Shechina actually is on the east side. And what happens is, just like when somebody gets a gift, he bows and walks backwards away from the one that gave him the gift, so too the son is bowing down, so to speak, to the Shekhinah on the east side and then walking away. If that's the way we'll understand, so then it'll be just the opposite. What's going to be the case now is that it's an indication that the Shekhinah is actually on the east side. And says the Gemara, that indeed is a kasha, how we would answer that question. Rabbi Shesavar, Shekhinah become mocking. The Shekhinah is everywhere. Dam Rabbi Shemadik Siv, the Pasuk says, Ato Hashem Levadecha, Ato Sisos Hashemayim, Utsva Hashemayim, L'cha Mishtachvim. Explains the Gemara, Shluchochem, the messengers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aloy Kishluchi Bas V'dam, and not like the messengers of human beings. Shluchi Bas V'dam, and the messengers of human beings, Mimakim Shemishtachim, from where they're sent, L'sham Machsirim Shluchusan. After Shlich accomplishes what he's supposed to accomplish, he comes back to where he started. Avish L'chucha, but your Shlichim, L'makim Shemishtachim, L'sham Machsirim Shluchusan. The Shlichim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where they started, that's where they are. They don't come back. They don't have to come back. Why don't they have to come back? Because a human being has to come back and notify the person who sent them on a job that I finished. So the person who sent them is where he was. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. So as soon as the shliach completes his job, he notifies Hashem where he is. So melamed shlichinu become mokim. And says the Gemara, Vavri v'shmul sover, and so too is the opinion of Rishmol, that the shchinu has become mokim. The Tana, the baby of Shmol, menayin shchinu become mokim. How do we know that the shchinu is everywhere? Shenamahina melech hadoy v'biyoytzu melech ocha yoytzu l'krosoi. Says the Gemara, one Malach was greeting the other Malach. Says the Gemara, Achrav loy nemar. The Pasuk doesn't use the word Achrav, el krosoi. That means the first Malach was coming from one direction, and the other Malach was coming from the other direction. Now, where do Malachim come from? Malachim obviously come from the Shekhinah. And we see that they're coming from all directions, because Malamed, Shekhinah become Malachim. Says the Gemara, Af Reb Sheshesover. And so too is it the opinion of Rav Sheshes that the Shekhinah has become Mokim, that the Shekhinah is everywhere. Damalei Rav Sheshes L'shamei, Rav Sheshes said to his assistant, L'chol Ruchsa Ukman. Rav Sheshes was blind, and he told him, you could place me when I daven in any direction, L'vam Mezrach, besides the east side. Says the Gemara, not because he thought that the Shekhinah doesn't appear on the east side. El Mishum, the Bayer Bemini, as we said earlier, the people in those days would daven towards the sun, so he doesn't want to daven towards the east side. Revu Amar Shekhinah B'Marv. He held that the Shekhinah is on the west side. Dama Revuva, my Urya, why is the west side called Uriah? Because Avika, that's where you find HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the vicinity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Rav Yehuda Maidik Siv, Yarev Kamata Lichi. Ruach Marav Shabbat Me Arpa Shalom. It's in the back of the world. Tizal Katal Marasi Zurach Tzofuras Shemazel says Azov. The northerly wind brings a lot of heat. And when there's a lot of heat, the people are hungry, the things don't grow, and people can't afford to buy gold. And that brings down the price of gold. The Kaimer has Zolim Zav Mikis. The Pasuk that speaks about the north wind calls it Hazolim Zav. It devalues the value of gold. Kasir Malidesha is the Ruach Mizrachis, is the east side. So Maseres is Kol Olam Kesoyer. It shakes up the entire world. It's the best world. Our Gemara has been speaking a lot about the winds of the world. The Sefer Das Shraga explains what's the lesson of this Gemara. You know, people believe that they have nothing to worry about, and that they are on sure footing in this world, and it's like a well-oiled machine that we have nothing to be concerned will never break down. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He brings a wind. And as our Gemara has been discussing, the wind could be quite damaging to teach us and show us that we can't rely on anything. Before we begin the next piece of Gemara, the Gemara is going to discuss how the sun circles the world. And the Maral points out that the facts that our Gemara present are really not, this is in a Sefer Adib Amorim, this is not the way we know the world is. We know that the world is round, and the Gemara is not going to suggest that the world is round. How do we understand this Gemara? He says that when we look at the world, we look at ourselves, not just when we look at the world, we know that all of us are made up of two parts. We are Ruchnius and Gashmius. And the Gashmius, how our bodies look and how our bodies work and how the world looks and how the world works, is something that's visible to us, and we try to understand and know how all these things operate. But then there's a different sphere in which the world works, and that sphere is the sphere of Ruchnius. And the Ruchnius with which the world operates and the Gashmius are very, very not the same. And the focus of our Gemara is in the Ruchnius, how the world operates according to the Ruchnius. So we know, as we mentioned earlier in the Shir, every morning the sun comes up on the east side and it sets on the west side. But of course we know that not all days have the same amount of sunlight. And the reason we don't have the same amount of sunlight is because where does the sun come up? In the days of the year where there's an equal amount of day and night, approximately 12 hours day and 12 hours night, the sun comes up in the middle of the east side, goes up on the top, and then it goes down in the middle of the west side. And then it goes under and comes back up the next morning. When the days start getting shorter, that's because the sun goes up further up, when the days are longer, the sun starts further down. And the same regarding where does the sun set. So says the Gemara, and the Gemara's focus is on the rising and the setting of the sun. Tanav, Rav Elazar Omer, Rav Elazar's opinion is that the olam, the world, looks like an echsadra. We've had this before. Echsadra is a room that has three walls around it. Lechsadra hu doima. Tzvainis, but the northern side, Einam Sveves, doesn't have a wall around it. Kiev Shigia Chama, Eitzel Marovet Tzvainis, as the sun is about to set on the northwest corner, Nechnefes, it goes under the place where there is no wall of oil amalam and rakia, and it goes above the rakia till it goes back to the east side. The world looks like a box. So there's walls around all four sides. However, when the sun comes to that point where it's about to set, Makefes, it exits a window, so to speak, for Chazeres Achurikup, and that's how it travels outside of this box to come back to where it starts. Shenemar, the Pasuk, Rabbi Shua brings a raya to his opinion. The Pasuk says, Hoylech al adarach v'soivav al atzofen. Hoylech al adarim, it goes by day, b'yoyim, that even in the winter, the small days, the goes on the south side, the Soiv of Tzofen Belayla, and it keeps on going to the north side by night. Saivav, Saivav, Hailach, Aruva, Valasvav, Shavar, Ruach. Elu, Pnei Mizrach, Pnei Marav, the east side and this west side, Shapamim, Misavosam, in the winter, where you have short days and long nights, that's when the sun comes up on the southwest, southeast side, and goes around to the east side, and then it goes down at the southwest side, and then it goes more on the west side, the whole north side, and part of the east side, or Pamimalachsam. In the summer, where you have longer days, the sun comes up on the northeast side. It goes by day the entire east, south, and west until it gets back to the northwest side. So we see from here that even the northwest, the north has a wall. It just depends where does the sun exit and where does it enter. And who are Yomer? Whereas the Rebbe Lezer says, Oslan Rebbe Lezer, this Brisa, follow the Brisa that says that this Brisa that we're going to learn follows the opinion of Rebbe Lezer that the world doesn't have four sides. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says in Iyov, Menacheda Tava Sufa, Umi Mezarim Kara, Menishmas Ayetin Kara Verechav Mai Bemutzak. Menacheda Tara Sufa Zeruch Droimis, Umi Mezrach Kara Zeruch Tsefoinis. The north side is open, is exposed. Menishmas Kel Yitin Karach Zeruch Maravis. The cold comes from the west side. And Zeruch Mezrachis, that the rain comes from the east side. Rav Dushinsky explains that the Gemara in Masech the Kedushin, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, teaches us, Barasu Yetzahara Barasu Torah Tavlin. The Torah is the way to, is the antidote against the Yetzahara. And somebody who doesn't Aveira, doesn't, the Yetzahara will have influence over him. But what one has to be most concerned is that even when somebody is learning and doing mitzvahs, the Yetzahara could convince him that what he's doing is what he thinks is what he is an Aveira, the Yetzahara could convince him is really a mitzvah. So he says, that's why, according to Rebbe Lezer, he says that the world looks like an echsadra, three walls, which looks like a beis, to teach us that the Torah, which begins with the letter beis, Bereishis Bara, has the ability to protect us from the tzofen, from the exposed side. When we get exposed to foreign influences, which are represented by the north side, which represents the part where we're not protected by the Torah, we have to be careful that side where we should be able to protect ourselves from that exposed side. The Svarim explain why is the world created to that way. Why is the Gemara suggesting, according to Rebbe Lezer, that the world is created just with three walls? So the Sefer Nishbal Avasecha explains that something that isn't completely enclosed, something that only has three walls, is not firm. And the lesson that we're supposed to learn from this Gemara is that our existence in this world is not something that's permanent. We have to view our existence in this world as extremely temporary, the proof being that the world isn't even encircled of four sides. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that the rain comes from the east side? V'amamah ruach d'ravis, the south wind, malar avivim magdalas asasavim. We learned on Amun Aleph that it's the south side that makes things grow. Answers the Gemara like Kasha. Hada asav mitra ben chusa. When the rain comes down, not in a storm, that's when it comes from the south side. When it comes in a downpour, that's when it comes from the east side. This refers to what we discussed earlier, says the Gemara. Mizruach Tzefoinis, it's the north wind. Shemazal says Azov, because when you have a north wind, the world is very hot. It brings hunger to the world, and that makes gold very cheap. Keno Omer, Azolim Zol Mikis. Omer Papa Omer of Chizda. B'yom Shchar Beis Hamikdash, L'hun Shemaruach Deroimus. From when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, we don't have rain coming from this south wind. Shenemar, V'yigza Yavim V'yirov, V'yoychel Asmov Leisavoyu. The Min speaks about the right side, Ksiv Tzofen Yomin at the Barosin. So we see that the Yomin is the Dorim, Tzofen and Yomin, the south and the north go together. And we see from here that the south side rain has stopped, and that's why it is not enough. The economy of the world suffers. V'amar Papa, Amar Rav from a Papa, Amar Rav Chizda. V'yom Shkar Beis Hamikdash, Ein Agisharmim Yordim Oitza Toiv. There's an Oitza Toiv from which the good rain comes. From when the time Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, it's no longer here. And I saw the explanation is because the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Ches Amar Aleph teaches us, Ein Agisharmim Yordim El B'Shvil Bali Amuna. What brings rain to the world? What brings Hanasa to the world? The Amuna. And after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because Klai Yisrael did not have the proper Amuna. And that's why we don't have the proper Panasa. Shenema Yiftach Hashem L'chas Oitzre Atoif. Bezman Yisrael Shurim Al Mosam. When we're in Eretz Yisrael with the Beis Hamikdash, Gishamim Yardim Moitz Atoif. However, Bezman Shein Yisrael Shurim Al Mosam, after the Churban Habayis, even the rain we have is not the really great rain that we want to have. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Haroitzu Shiyachim, if somebody wants to be smart, Yadrim, he should face the south side. Yashir, if somebody wants to be wealthy, Yatzman, he should face the north side, the Simonach. And what's the easy way to remember this? Shulchan is Betzofen. The Shulchan was on the north side. The Shulchan in the Beis Hamikdash represents, Parnosa. Umanaira was on the Dorm side. V'shem Velevi Amilolim Yadrim. Shemetoich Shemeschakim. A person who is smart, he will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that Misasher, he'll be wealthy as well. Shenema Aruch Yom B'Yemino, the Smoila Oishe V'Chavid. If somebody is a Talmud Chacham, he'll also have a Shiris. V'ar Rav Shuman Levi Am Meshchina B'Marav. But how, asked the Gemara, how can we say that we should face south or north? We've been saying in our Shir that the Shechina is on the west side. So the Gemara Tzadi Mitzudei. You should look to both, try to daven on an angle. So says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Chanina Rav Ashi. Aton, Kigon Aton, the Yasir B'Tzvon Eretz Yisrael, you who live in Bavel, which is to the north of Eretz Yisrael, Adrima Adrimi. When you daven, you should face the south. Menol on the Bavel Tzvon Eretz Yisrael, Kaima. How do we know that? The Ksiv Mitzof and Tiftach Hara Kol Yosh V'Yoretz. So many Rishonim ask that many times the Gemara says, B'Marava Amri, and they call the people in Bavel would call Eretz Yisrael Marif. So doesn't that indicate that Bavel is on the east side? So the Rishonim say what it means is that Bavel is on the north, on the northeast side. The Gemara says that the Haroitz Shiachim Yadrim Shiasha Yatzbin. So they saw that the Bavel Rebbe said that many people, when they daven, they shake from both sides. What's the reason that they daven that way? Because you want to have both things, Yachkim and Yashir. So you move your body towards the south side and the north side, and you'll have both. The Beis Halevi says that the Menorah represents Chochmah. The Pasuk says in Kehelis, Chochmas Adam Tir Ponov. So he says that somebody who would enter the Beis Hamikdash, as you enter the Beis Hamikdash, the menorah was on your left and the shulchan was on your right. Because the entrance to the Beis Hamikdash was on the east side. So if you're entering from the east side, the right is Tzofen, and the left is Dorim. So he says that when somebody comes into a Beis HaMedrash, what you're supposed to do is first think about the menorah. The first thing that you're supposed to think about is the first thing you're supposed to think about is the right side was on the was the shulchan, and we know that the right side is always the more powerful side. Explains the Beis Halevi. This is what we know: the metoich shaloi lishma bal lishma. So even if you start learning and your intention in learning is to become wealthy, it's all right, because metoich shaloi lishma bal lishma. The Chasam Sofer says, since the menorah represents Chachma and the Shulchan represents Osher, so why does the Torah, when it speaks of the when Klal Yisrael were traveling, it always speaks about the why does the Torah always speak about the Shulchan being transported before the menorah? So explains the Chasam Sofer. He uses a mashal. A king once took over a country. Then, so what happened was that the first infantry that enters in the country are not the most important soldiers. And that's what we learn here too, he explains. First, we focus on what's not so important, on the panosa. And after we finish focusing on the panosa, then we could focus on what's important, bring the people who are learning Torah. The Chayvus Halvavus and Sharet Shuva says that in one vessel, it's impossible to have in one vessel fire and water. And therefore, he says, a person as well cannot be focused on Ruchnius and Gashmius at the same time. So if somebody is focused on the Gashmius, then that's the focus of his life. And the other way, if somebody's focused on Torah, a mitzvah, that's his way. And that's what he says, Al Gemara is saying. Every person has to make a decision. What kind of a person am I? Am I a Yachkim or am I a Yatzman? Another pshat that the Ben Yoyada explains is that our Gemara is speaking about the Osher and Torah. And a person, when it comes to Gashmius, then when we speak about Gashmius, then they have to be less important. He says, if you look at the word Lev, if you look to the right of that, it's Ach. The letter before Chaf, the letter before Lamed is Chaf. The letter before Beis is Aleph. Ach, that it should be less is enough. But when you look at the letters to the left of, if you look at the letters of to the right of Lev, then that's Gam. We're learning from here that sometimes you have to want more. When it comes to Ruchnius, I want to have more. And when it comes to Gashmius, I want to have less. So, Rabbi Eliyahu Dessler, in the Sefer Michtam Eliyahu, says that we know that there's a concept of Torah v'gedula b'makam echad. So how can we have a person that has Torah v'gedula b'makam echad when Al Gemara, as we're learning now, says you have to make a decision. Are you from the north side or people that are focused on wealth? Are you the people focused on Torah? So how could you have people that have both? So he explains that there's one type of a person that doesn't have all of these concepts of right and left, south and east. Who is that person? He explains that is the individual who's an onuf. That is an individual who's modest. Because what does modesty represent? He explains that modesty represents that I don't really consider myself of any significance. If you don't consider yourself of any significance, so then where you are is not important because you don't consider yourself that important. So you could have a person who's an anav, and that person's directions and location all doesn't mean anything to that person. And therefore, the person is a person that is a person that will be able to have Torah, the Gedulah B'Makom Echad. I also saw, we know, the famous Rashi at the beginning of Parshas Baloischa, where the Torah speaks about Aaron HaKohen lighting the menorah. And the Torah says, Baloischa said Noyers, and the Pasuk says, Lahagit Shvacha Shal Aaron, to tell us the greatness of Aaron, that Shloshina, that he lit the menorah every day. And I saw many Mefarshim ask the question, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Aaron to light the menorah every day, why do we consider it so special that he would did what he was? Why do we consider it so special that he did what he was supposed to do? The answer is that Aaron had the right to choose any avoid in the Beis Hamikdash that Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, wanted to do. He had the right to choose that he wants to do that avoida. Now we're learning now that the menorah represents Torah. We also know that Ketoris that was brought represents Oysher. That's why the Gemara says that there was never a Kohen who did the Ketoris more than once. They wanted to give everybody an opportunity. So Aaron, certainly, if he wanted to do the avoid of the Ketoris, would have had every right to do so. But what did Aaron do? Aaron said, I'm not interested in the Ketoris. Rather, every morning, what Aaron did was he did the avodah of the menorah to show that what's most important to him is Torah, which is represented by the menorah more than anything else. We learned in the Mishnah, Machikim, Asa Mishnah, Menorokis, etc. Tana, we learned in the Mishnah, Rav Yosimat, the Braisa teaches Rav Yosimat, the Bechadl, he allows mustard next to the bees. Shiyocha loymaloy, the owner of the mustard could say to the owner of the bees, instead of saying, keep distance your mustard from my bees, I could say to you, distance your bees from my mustard. They eat up my mustard. And therefore, they're both equal. So as we learned on the Yud Ches Amud Beis, Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that a person could work in his property, what he could do in his property, only he holds al nizik l'harchikas atzmai. So he explains, so that's why not only in the case of the chadl and the vayra does Rabbi Yossi hold that you don't have to distance, but rather he's going to hold in all situations that you don't have to distance. And the point being that he's using this example of by the case of mustard and bees to say to the Chachamim that even if you don't agree with me in the other cases, because in the other cases it's clear who is the mazik and who is the nizik. But by the chardul and the varim, as the Gemara just explained, both are mazikim and both are nizakim. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi was saying to the Rabbanan, at least in this case, you should agree. But as we learned on Daf Yud Ches, the Rabbanan disagree even in this case.